Welcome to The Average Saint, where we help the average saint live out their extraordinary calling in Jesus Christ. It's good to be back after a month off for summer break. And we're going to start today, the fall season, with some pastoral reflections on our COVID age. A few weeks ago, I walked into a convenience store with a bandana on my face and a hoodie. It was a little cold outside, so. But I looked in the mirror as I walked in, and I saw that I looked really like a bandit who was going to rob the place. And as I walked into the convenience store, nothing happened. No one was concerned. No one stared. Everything was fine. My appearance was the mark of a good and responsible citizen. Now, if somebody would have told me 8 months ago that would be the case today, I would have thought they were joking. So how exactly did we get into these strange days? What factors were at play? Where is this all going? Well, those are important questions that I'm sure many of you have formulated answers for, and I may speak on those later. But for now, we are in the midst of these strange days, and we need to navigate them faithfully. It is no secret that the days that we are in are polarizing and divisive, even for the average saint. While churches have begun to slowly make their way back to regular meetings and adapt to ongoing health restrictions, not everybody is seeing eye to eye on a variety of issues surrounding our COVID age, and so we need to consider how to navigate them. You see, I believe, like you, that the church holds the only real hope for this world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as average saints, we need to move forward with charity to guard our unity in Jesus. So I want to highlight four main factors that are contributing to the polarizing going on, and then propose some steps, a pathway through the mess for the average saint. First, as average saints, it is a love for God and others that motivates us and guides us. That love is an ordered love and not a pretentious love. We seek to love our neighbor in truth. But there's the rub. What is the truth? At the onset of this threat, when no one knew what we were dealing with, in an effort to flatten the curve and protect our neighbor, there wasn't one Christian I knew that hesitated. We all trusted the experts and gladly shut down and shut in for the sake of our neighbors. We couldn't stop COVID, we were told, but we could try to keep the healthcare system from being overloaded. And so we gladly took part. However, as models disastrously failed, doomsday never came, thankfully. And more data continued to emerge showing that the disease was not as deadly as once feared. And so people began to wonder if the response was proportionate to the threat. On top of that, expert advice began to fluctuate radically. First, no masks were mandated, and then they were. Asymptomatic spreaders were the problem. Then asymptomatic carriers, not the problem. And so on and so forth. While the experts flip-flopped and shutdowns continued, other destructive curves began to rise rapidly. Unemployment, depression, debt, suicide, domestic abuse, and a host of other social ills. For many average saints, the collateral damage that was being done to society became increasingly concerning. After all, a love for God and others guides us. With the curve successfully flattened and the healthcare system nowhere near to being overwhelmed, the ongoing restrictions appeared at best unwise or reductionistic, at worst unjustifiable and destructive. However, for other saints, the battle against COVID was simply not over, and vigilance was still required until a vaccine would be available. Staying safe and staying online was the way forward. Now, different convictions on how to lovingly move forward have emerged. Yet, every saint that I know desires to see the vulnerable protected and society recover. They just don't always agree on how to best move forward. While there's a tension there to navigate, we've got to remember we're on the same team, and the mark of Jesus' disciples is love for one another. Our desire to love well is our first factor contributing to the polarizing of our day. Now, the second one is, as average saints, we love truth, or at least we should. As our society becomes increasingly technocratic, many are used to citing the experts. But relying on the experts is difficult simply because political bias spins the science. Science isn't done in a vacuum, after all. Take, for example, the Yale epidemiology professor, Harvey Riesch. He showed solid medical evidence that treating people suffering from COVID-19 with hydroxychloroquine, especially at the early stages, was indeed effective. However, due to the politicization of that drug, Trump advocated for its use, he was smeared by the mainstream media and even his colleagues. His data still stands. But you see, it's situations like this that have been playing out all over the world. Epidemiologists, virologists, and medical experts are locking horns. Now, we should note that sticking one's professional neck out to challenge the mainstream narrative isn't done lightly. People lose their reputation. People lose their jobs. So dismissing expertise that counters the mainstream narrative shouldn't really be done lightly, especially when lives are at stake. Now, some have suggested that the solution isn't to try to think more carefully, but simply to trust the experts. Well, that's dangerously naive and counter, really, to what we're called to do as average saints. We are, after all, to love God with all of our mind. We're to be a thinking people. And we also know that experts are not immune to bias, error, or even financial pressure. No one is immune. So we are to actively discern. Of course, respecting and heeding experts is appropriate, but blindly trusting them is, well, blind. This is a difficult and necessary task, but by God's grace, we've got to take it up. Our love for truth is the second factor. On to the third. Now, as average saints, we seek justice. It's no secret that over the past 6 months, Canadians' charter rights and freedoms have been limited. Many are deeply concerned about the constitutionality of the government measures that have been taken and continue to be taken. Take, for example, Bill 10 in Alberta. Passed in early April, this new bill now allows, during a public health emergency, any one cabinet minister to write, implement, and enforce any new law upon the citizens of Alberta. This can happen without consultation, debate, or approval by the Legislative Assembly. Unilateral powers like that, even in a state of emergency, should concern anyone with a basic knowledge of history. Because history shows that when governments take power, they rarely give it back. Now, to be fair, our charter does allow for restriction of our rights under certain circumstances. Those circumstances must be reasonably justified in a free and democratic society. That means that the onus is on the government to show that the measures taken weren't bigger than the problem they were trying to solve. And with the data that we've got now, it seems unlikely that that is the case. The individual rate of death from COVID-19 in Canada for people under 65 years of age is 6 per million people, or 0.0006%. And only 45 people are currently hospitalized with a case of COVID in Alberta at the date of this podcast. No one is justified in burning the house down to get rid of the rat. As average saints and as citizens of heaven, we obviously should seek to be good citizens of Canada, and this involves upholding the charter and holding our governing officials accountable to it. This leads us to our last factor, the fourth one. As average saints, we seek to honor and obey the authorities, since God himself is the source of all authority. What are the authorities that God has instituted? Well, generally speaking, they fall into three spheres: the family, the church, and the government. We know that government is instituted by God to enforce justice, but that doesn't mean governments always act justly or enact laws that are in line with God's revealed will. So what happens when government oversteps or abuses its authority? There's a general principle that average saints can hold to in this regard. When government commands what God forbids and forbids what God commands, well, the line is clearly drawn. We are to obey God, not man. Many have never wrestled with how this biblical principle is to be worked out in a constitutional monarchy, the democracy that we have in Canada, but they are wrestling with it now, especially in the last 6 months, and I would say that that's actually a good thing. So at what point do we employ this principle of civil disobedience? Well, our context needs to be considered, because context will change, the principle won't. Thankfully, in Alberta, for the most part, obeying the government hasn't prevented us from obeying Christ. We're still able to meet and to pray and to preach and to baptize and so on. So civil disobedience shouldn't be something that any saint has on a hair trigger. It is a final step. However, if we're honest, as average saints in Canada, we're already stepping over the line of Romans 13 in principle today in several ways. For example, the government has redefined marriage, but saints will not. The government can deem sex changes for children legal, but a saint will call it abusive. The government can legalize abortion, but saints will call it for what it is, the murder of unborn children. The government can mandate that we address a man as a woman, and the saint will not go along with the lie. The government can forbid us to sing praises, but the saints will gladly continue to do what God commanded. For some time in Canada, we have been comfortable with the government's authority in other spheres of authority, especially in our healthcare system. We never really questioned it. But now that our government has adopted a new set of values that are antithetical to Christian values, that comfort is quickly disappearing. As I made mention the other day to some of our colleagues, it may be that overt persecution comes to the church in Canada under the guise of healthcare. After all, we are the ones creating aerosol clouds, shaking hands, sharing meals, baptizing, and conducting large social gatherings. You see, to a godless government and society, saints of God are filthy. But I digress. So there's the four factors that make our times challenging to navigate without becoming polarized. First, our desire to love God and others. Second, our desire to hold what is true. Third, our desire to seek justice. And fourth, our allegiance to Christ over the state. Now, isn't it ironic that the things which should actually unite us serve to divide us in our present circumstances? Perhaps that's more demonic than ironic than we would like to admit. While these days are polarizing, though, the question is how do we navigate them? Well, I want to give you a few simple gospel-centered things to do in the days ahead. First, welcome one another. Romans 14:1. We are not going to agree on all the issues. And that's okay, because it is the gospel that really is our ultimate constitution. COVID perspectives must not define the saint. Christ-likeness must define the saint. And so we ought to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, as the Apostle Paul calls us to in Ephesians 4:3. How? Well, we keep first things first and be humble. Remember, the Lord welcomed you and me in our ignorance, weaknesses, and wrong thinking. And so we ought to welcome one another in a like manner. Let us not destroy the work of God for the sake of debatable issues. Romans 14:20. Second, be gentle with one another. Philippians 4:5. We'd be shooting ourselves in our foot when we assume motives and perspectives. People's views are invariably shaped by their contexts, and contexts vary. And so we should ask and listen and seek to understand, and we should do so face to face. Too many discussions had on social media are really not discussions at all, but opportunities for slander, backhanded remarks, venting frustrations, and they really end up staining your witness for Christ. So instead, if you really care about what somebody thinks, then go ask them face to face. You see, Jesus is gentle with us. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. So let's be gentle with one another. Third, Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in our marriages, our families, our vocations, and our interactions with the outside world. In Christ, our hope hasn't changed, nor have our marching orders. Above this COVID age is the kingdom of God, and we are to seek it first. Regardless of where we find ourselves and in what circumstances, you and I are to live as citizens of heaven with faith, hope, and love. We are looking forward to a far better country than Canada. And while we're here, we have been given the authority in Christ to go and make disciples, not just of this nation, but of all nations. So let us focus on unmasking the glory given to us in Christ to love, to be charitable. Let our reasonableness be known to all. Fourth, renew your prayer life. While we have always been at war with principalities and powers, I think in our day, even more so. And the Lord has called us to stand firm. That requires prayer. While there are a host of human factors and actors at play in our COVID age seeking their own gain, we need to remember there's a deeper malice at work here, a spiritual one. And the battle against that malice can only be fought and won first in prayer. So in an age filled with distractions and demons, we've got to make an active choice to put away our distractions and renew our prayer life. It's no secret that we all try to escape pain and avoid conflict, and often we do so not in prayer, but we do so with a drug of choice, whether it be a digital distraction or some sort of physical substance. But we also know that it never gives us the rest and strength that we're looking for. It is in communion with the living God that we find rest for our souls, and so let's take it. And last, take courage. The days ahead are uncertain for us, but our hope is not. While society is fractured and the economy broken, we can take courage knowing that the Lord is working through all things for the sake of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. As the Apostle Paul wrote, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans 8, 38-39. You see, no political, social, or economic upheaval threaten the kingdom of God or our security in Christ. And whatever changes and challenges are coming in the days ahead, God's love for us in Christ will not fail. His promises will not fail, and his Spirit will not abandon us as we continue to journey to the final day when all of us average saints will have the joy of seeing him face to face. God bless you.